Some of you are going to find this a bit incredulous, but here's something that federal, state, and local governments all tell us to do that we should actually listen to. Eat more fruits and vegetables. You've heard about the health benefits of increasing plant-based nutrients into your diet, but how can you easily consume all the fruits and veggies needed? Well, it's easy. By adding grown American superfood and essential vitamins plus immunity into your meals. Grown American superfood and essential vitamins plus immunity is a power blend that has 31 fruits and vegetables in every scoop. Organic vegetables, super greens, super fruits, and super sprouts. It is fortified with essential vitamins plus an immunity boost. And right now, you can get a free 2-week supply of grown American superfood and essential vitamins plus immunity by just paying $8.95 for the shipping and handling. And not only that, you'll also get a free frother to quickly whip up your healthy and nutritious grown American drink. Go to grownamericansuperfood.com/John and order today.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is the John Fugelsang Podcast.
This is SiriusXM Progress. I'm John Fugelsang. Welcome to Tell Me Everything. Thank you to the Dino Vidala crew for an excellent live lead-in. We are live and interactive for the next 3 hours and would love to have you join our show. The great Chris Housel producing out of South Carolina. The great Theo Harper producing out of Brooklyn. We're so glad you're with us. It's been an eventful day. We'd love to hear your take on it. Donald Trump's in Grand Rapids. He's saying bloodbath again. Biden re-election will lead to a bloodbath for America. I'm sure he was talking about the auto industry. I'm sure. In Oregon, Governor Tina Kotek has rolled back that state's 4-year-old policy of drug decriminalization. The 2020 policy of decriminalization was viewed as radical at the time. Now it's being called a failure of reform. The owners of the cargo ship that struck the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore have filed a claim that limits their culpability at 44 million. In scary news, fearing a second Trump presidency, NATO leadership has begun plans to move Ukraine's military aid into a $100 billion fund under its protection because they anticipate a likelihood that America will have a different president in a few months who will do all he can do to aid the civilian slaughter in that nation. Tesla's vehicle sales went down in the first quarter at a much faster pace than anticipated. Their stock is going way down. I'm sure their unhinged leader becoming a white supremacist activist has nothing to do with this. And also, John Sinclair died. Poet, music producer, and a very legendary counterculture figure you may have heard of. He had a long prison sentence after a couple of small-time pot busts, and John Lennon wrote a pretty good song about him and starred in a big 1971 concert to free him. He was 82 years old. He died at Detroit Receiving Hospital. He got a 10-year prison sentence in 1969 from Detroit Judge Robert Colombo because he gave two joints to an undercover cop. And he did 29 months. He was released a few days after John Lennon, Stevie Wonder, Bob Seger, and a bunch of others did a big show in front of 15,000 people at the University of Michigan's Chrysler Arena. So John sang the song John Sinclair. They gave him 10 for 2. What else can Judge Colombo do? We got to set him free. That was the song. That was the man who just died. At the time he was arrested, possession of cannabis was a felony, punishable by up to 10 years in jail. And he was arrested in Detroit while he was a poet and an activist. He co-founded the White Panther Party. And the day before the concert, the Michigan legislature realized the public pressure was so great, and they voted to reduce to a misdemeanor, not a felony, the penalty for possession of small amounts of cannabis, now punishable by up to a year in jail, not 10. And because he'd already served 2.5 years, John Sinclair was sprung from jail 3 days after the concert. Guys, never underestimate what public pressure can do to politicians and the criminal justice system. Tonight, we're joined by Professor Corey Brettschneider. Lee Papa, the Root Pundit, will be here. Our good buddy Keith Price in hour number three, my comedy daddy. Let's do a show. So since the unspeakably evil attacks on Israel by Hamas, and I'll not pussyfoot around, Hamas is evil. Let me say it before I start this. Hamas bad, Nazi terrorists. Since their evil attack on Israel, the Netanyahu government has, in the name of self-defense, in the name of getting back the hostages, they've destroyed or damaged over half the buildings in Gaza. They've destroyed over 200 farms, 100 agricultural warehouses, and over 600 irrigation wells in the 141 square mile strip, while overtly, proudly, brazenly blocking aid. That's key. Bloomberg reports Israel's offensive in Gaza has destroyed about $18.5 billion in infrastructure. It's equal to about a year's worth of economic output in the enclave and the West Bank. Israel has destroyed all 36 hospitals in Gaza. There are no hospitals there. The World Health Organization has condemned Israel for destroying the Al-Shifa Hospital. 700 beds in the Al-Shifa Medical Complex was established 78 years ago during the British Mandate. The name Shifa means house of healing. They blew it up. All the patients are dead. All the family visiting patients are dead. They said Hamas had tunnels in the basement, so they had to destroy the hospital. And now, people who are injured can bleed out and die. Israel's destroyed 80% of sports facilities in Gaza, including the Central Palestinian Sports Stadium. Dozens of athletes, members of national teams, have been killed. Israel has broken 62 United Nations resolutions. There have been zero consequences, and they are imposing heavy restrictions on food entering Gaza by land, because that's the easiest way to get food to them. And all throughout, aid and supplies have been consistently blocked. Washington Post said last week, the deficit between the volume of all supplies, including food and medical necessities, that would have entered the Gaza Strip if not for the war, and what has actually been received, has reached at least 500,000 tons. So the U.S. made a big show of airdropping aid, went so-so, and President Biden promised to build this floating pier in Gaza, more or less him saying, Israel has this blockade, and we have no power. We're giving them all the weapons, but we have no power over them. So we're going to build a pier for you, because the Israeli government that we're funding that's slaughtering you isn't going to let us bring food into you. Wish we could help more. So Israel bombed the UNRWA. That was the Palestinian Food Aid Lifeline in Gaza, funded by the world. And then Israel told the world, well, we'll let World Central Kitchen in so they won't starve, because we don't need the bad press over this. Tensions have been getting worse and worse. Yesterday, we saw an Israeli airstrike kill 7 Iranian officers in Syria, including a senior general. They bombed the Iranian embassy. They bombed an embassy in Syria. And then, while we were talking about that, they bombed and murdered World Central Kitchen. They killed 7 aid workers yesterday with WCK, which caused the charity to suspend delivery today of the vital food, where hundreds of thousands of Palestinian civilians are on the brink of what appears to be very deliberate starvation. World Central Kitchen, founded by celebrity chef Jose Andres. This was key to the sea route, since Israel wouldn't let them in through land, we'll do it by water. And it offered some hope for the folks in northern Gaza. The UN says much of the population in northern Gaza is on the brink of starvation. They're cut off from the rest of the territory by Israel forces. We can't be totally sure, because Israel's not allowing any media or any reporters there. So World Central Kitchen was going in there to mitigate the famine in Gaza. They're one of the most well-known and highly regarded nonprofits in earth. And as far as we know, 7 international aid workers from World Central Kitchen and their Palestinian driver were murdered in an Israeli airstrike in Gaza. They've been leading the efforts to get food to Gaza. They're a true humanitarian organization. They are brave people. They are important people. And I want to point out, they operated in Israel after the massacre. They did everything they could to help the Israelis who were injured and wounded by the senseless violence of last fall. Israel's mass slaughter has already claimed over 32,000 Palestinian lives. You either care about that or you don't. But now it's entering a very scary phase, which could lead to an all-out regional war, a bigger war, and we're going to start watching deliberate, systemic starvation as a weapon of war. We really are. Here's Karine Jean-Pierre today in the White House telling the press pool that Biden has spoken to Jose Andres about the seven World Central Kitchen aid workers murdered in Gaza.
The president's call, he called Chef Jose Andres to express that he's heartbroken by this news of the airstrike that killed seven aid workers and to express and share his deepest condolences. The president conveyed he is grieving with the entire World Central Kitchen family. The president felt it was important to recognize the tremendous contribution World Central Kitchen has made to the people in Gaza and people around the world. The president conveyed he will make clear to Israel that humanitarian aid workers must be protected.
Now, Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu called the deaths unintentional, but he also told reporters in times of war these things happen. This is Netanyahu, who is willing to slaughter and starve thousands more civilians, destroy all the goodwill Israel generated after this horrible attack against them. He's willing to make Israel an international pariah state to keep himself in earthly power and to keep himself away from the criminal and corruption charges he faces. Seven aid workers, World Central Kitchen, blown up in their convoy. And it's really scary because they were struck three times in succession. The drone chased the wounded aid workers from vehicle to vehicle to make sure every one of them was dead. They were coordinating this with the Israeli military, World Central Kitchen. They were coordinating all three cars that would carry the workers as they left northern Gaza late yesterday. And the convoy was struck three times. They ran out of the first car, got in the second. They hit the second car. They ran out of that car, got in the third car. These people were coordinating their movements with the Israeli authorities. They were traveling in what's called a deconflicted zone. Their vehicles had two armored cars with the World Central Kitchen logo on the roof. You see the footage of the aftermath? It shows the vehicle with the charity's logo printed on the roof to make it identifiable from the air. And they bombed it. There's a huge hole through that roof, clearly marked with their logo, a trip they were coordinating with Israeli forces. Israel knew they were there. Israel was helping them until they murdered them, until Benjamin Netanyahu murdered them. This does not make Israel safer. They are now immediately, World Central Kitchen, halting their operations in Gaza. And that was the point. How much would it cost Bibi Netanyahu to starve people in Gaza? Seven lives, seven international aid workers had to be murdered by Netanyahu's orders so he can murder thousands more. It doesn't make Israel safer. And it's proof once again, when you're driving out aid groups, Israel is deliberately starving Gaza in violation of multiple orders by the International Court of Justice, at which Netanyahu shakes his tiny infected penis. Here is Secretary of State Anthony Blinken reiterating the administration party line. This is a tragedy. Israel has to be more careful, and they have to have a plan.
We've spoken directly to the Israeli government about this particular incident. We've urged a swift, a thorough, and impartial investigation to understand exactly what happened. And as we have throughout this conflict, we've impressed upon the Israelis the absolute imperative of doing more to protect innocent civilian lives, be they Palestinian children, women, and men, or be they aid workers, as well as to get more humanitarian assistance to more people more effectively.
So that's a lot of bullshit, what you just heard there. Israel let these aid workers in. They coordinated the mission with them and then murdered them, drone bombing their convoy three times in succession. The second car was bombed after it saved the survivors of the first car. And the third car got bombed after they got people who lived in the second vehicle. And this is not the first time World Central Kitchen staff have been wounded in Gaza. On Saturday, an IDF sniper fired at a car headed to a food warehouse in the Khan Yunis area, hit the car's windshield, didn't kill anybody. WCK immediately filed a complaint with the IDF and demanded the army stop firing guns at aid workers and guarantee their safety. and the IDF did not comment on their inquiry. Jose Andres has operated this charity in many countries racked by wars or natural disasters. He serves all types of people, all nationalities, all religions. He served Israel after the attack, and he said he's heartbroken by the deaths of his colleagues. So what does it mean? What does all this mean? Here's what it means. The human-made food crisis is getting pretty close to the famine stage in the north part of the Gaza Strip. Over half the people that are still alive there already face the most severe level of food shortage as measured by what's called the Integrated Food Security Phase Classification System. That's what the UN uses and the U.S. Agency for International Development. These conditions are present when households face a complete lack of food or other basic needs, and when starvation, death, and destruction are evident. Now, this is happening right now, and we know it's happening, and we can't do anything. And the world knows it's happening. And if nothing improves by July, 1.1 million Gazans are expected to starve to death. Every single person in the Strip will be suffering from some level of food insecurity by then. Al-Mayadeen English reports the Israeli occupation has killed in separate massacres so far over 70 members of the committees who took upon themselves the mission of distributing aid to northern Gaza as part of its systematic starvation policy. This is the part where I say again, Hamas are monsters. Hamas are evil. We don't like Hamas. But there's a lot of evil motherfuckers in this country who will take your words when you care about the civilians of Gaza and use it to say you're pro-Hamas. There's a lot of evil motherfuckers out there who will take your care when you are worried and weeping for the citizens of Israel slaughtered in this terrorist attack, and they'll twist that around to say, oh, you love Hamas. The World Central Kitchen massacre is a message, and it's a message to any organization that's thinking of bringing aid to the starving folks in Gaza. This is how they're using starvation as a weapon of war, and friends, it's nothing new in history. This is meant to deter other aid groups from feeding the starving population of Gaza. It was a warning to any charity to stay the hell away. Your volunteers are fair game, and all Palestinians we consider to be Hamas. Who's going to deliver aid now? Guys, think about it. After Israel blows up one of their convoys from the most popular charity in the world and then says, oops, and gets away with it, who's going to deliver aid? The aid ships are turning around. This is ethnic cleansing. They're trying to make it so dangerous for aid workers to bring help to these starving people that they're going to pull out, make Gaza more toxic. It's ethnic cleansing. Cyprus was trying to establish a sea route to bring food into the territory, and they just announced they are turning back their ships with about 240 tons of undelivered aid. Here's a clip from earlier today on Sky News in Britain.
This is about the killing of seven aid workers in the Gaza Strip with World Central Kitchen, the charity. We're now hearing from Cyprus that the aid ships that have been travelling from Cyprus into Gaza, of course, this was a big development for those in Gaza that the aid was able to come in that way. Aid ships are now being turned around, still carrying aid. 240 tons of undelivered aid is now heading back to Cyprus because of this attack on a car killing seven aid workers, because the charity obviously unloading the ship and distributing that aid in Gaza. World Central Kitchen, one of those charities involved, has now suspended its operations because of this apparent Israeli airstrike.
They say they can't guarantee the safety of aid workers anymore. And again, Israel said you can come in and feed them. They plotted out the route. They said we'll coordinate everything with you. Knew where they were. Fired three drones to make sure they were all dead. You compare satellite imagery from before the invasion to now. Forensic agriculture found that about 40% of Gaza land that was previously used for food production has been destroyed. A third of Gaza's greenhouses have been demolished. They are trying to starve people. It's ethnic cleansing. They are going to kill them and take the land to make Gaza so dangerous for aid workers that agencies have no choice but to pull out. It's not an accident. They're trying to stop people from helping. They want starvation and malnutrition and lack of medical infrastructure and lack of medical personnel to kill women and children. During the Great Famine in Ireland, people had their mouths stained green from eating grass. We're hearing stories about people in Gaza who are eating grass right now. They all face acute food insecurity. And Ireland is intervening in South Africa's case against Israel at the International Criminal Court to argue that restricting food and aid in Gaza
is genocide. Their deputy prime minister said, "We've experienced famine. We know what it's like in our psyche." Netanyahu's destroyed all the hospitals in Gaza. It's no doctors, no hospitals. You die of infection and disease. Christian families in Gaza have been wiped out and massacred. Christian Palestinians have been in Gaza since Christianity began. Israel has destroyed over 80% of Christian Palestinian homes. Israel has destroyed the third oldest church in the world, and they've killed more than 3% of Gaza's Christians. And the rest who survived are starving. Netanyahu wants this. He wants more regional tension to distract from his failure to defeat Hamas. So what are we doing? We're going to give them $18 billion to do more. They've killed over 32,000 Palestinians, including 13,000 children. Over 12,000 are presumed dead under the rubble. 75,000 are wounded, many with life-changing injuries. Thousands of families have lost a loved one or been wiped out completely. 2 million have been forced into hunger, and they ban most foreign journalists. They were coordinating the delivery, and they killed them anyway. David Rothkopf said, "World Central Kitchen is a vastly greater force for good in the world than is the current government of Israel. In fact, it is no contest. One is a force for good. The other has become the opposite. No one has done more to dishonor the memory of those who died on October 7th than Netanyahu. And now he's going to invade Rafah, the last refuge of over 1 million Palestinians who fled from everywhere else on the Strip." And the White House says they're outraged. It's not enough. The president has to condemn this, has to condemn Netanyahu, has to ask for a ceasefire, has to call out ethnic cleansing. Because mass extermination of Palestinian civilians is not going to make Israel safer. This is the choice we're given. Go along with this or return to Trump, who would cheer on mass civilian slaughter. Israel is also risking starving to death the 101 hostages we think are still alive in Gaza, in whose name this mass slaughter is being carried out. Support for Israel has been dropping among allies and in poll after poll. And this incident won't help. We want to know what you think. We're at 866-997-4748. We'll be right back in just a moment with your calls and Professor Corey Brettschneider. This is Progress.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
This is SiriusXM Progress. We are at 866-997-4748. 866-997-GRIT. Let's go to the phone, shall we? Dennis is on the line in Arizona. Dennis, thank you so much for calling. You're on SiriusXM.
Thank you, John. I think you pretty much nailed the way my feelings are. My concern are is that Joe Biden is really alienating enough voters now that he might have doomed his reelection. I've talked to a lot of young people. These are not just TikTokers or anything, but they have Palestinian friends. They have family connected and everything. You try to tell them that Trump is so much worse, but they think that by not voting for Biden, but they'll vote down ballot to save their reproductive rights, their voter rights, whatever, by voting, in the right representatives and senators, that they cannot come to vote for Biden now, especially now that he's just too old and he's got these old policy, ideas.
What old policy? I mean, because again, the choice is Joe Biden not doing enough for Palestine or Donald Trump cheering on more slaughter.
Well, that Israel is our friend and we can't turn back, our back on a friend no matter what.
What does that mean, though? I mean, if your friend was murdering people at some point, like, would you keep buying him bullets or would you cut him off?
I totally agree with you. I'm not saying, but this is what I'm hearing from these young people is they think that his policy is, Israel is our friend and we'll support them no matter what, even if that means that they're murdering people with our bombs and our bullets and everything. And I totally agree with you. I want Biden to start putting some conditions on any aid.
He has to.
Something.
I mean, he has to. This is not helping Biden.
Different.
Yeah, it's not helping right. Biden. It's not helping America. It's not helping Israel.
Nope.
This is all Netanyahu staying in power. And I don't care how much fucking money AIPAC buys off politicians for. This is this goes against everything every religion teaches at this point. And again, I'm not pro Hamas. They're evil Nazi bastards.
Right.
But starving the population so Jared Kushner can build a bunch of fucking beachfront condos. That's what we're witnessing right now.
I know you've nailed every issue on this. I just want Biden. We have to change our policy somehow, some way to let them know that we just this. You know, now that they're killing, humanitarian aid people, this is just not acceptable.
Yes, sir. You're right. Thank you so much for the call. I appreciate it. Let me go to Dave calling from Washington. Dave, welcome. You're on SiriusXM.
Yeah, hey, John. I just heard an Israeli reporter talking about how laughable this whole thing is with, this Israeli general apologizing. He's saying that this, because it's the World Food Kitchen or the World Central Kitchen, that it's getting attention, but this sort of thing happens frequently. And he said it's a disconnect between the generals in Tel Aviv and the colonels in the field, in Gaza, I assume. Now, here's the thing. We went through there was a paper that was put out after the turning point in the Iraq war, sort of after, most West Point graduates said it was a war of choice. Then right after that, there was a paper called The Failure of Generalship. Right. And that was a seminal. That was very important. That was a turning point, because what we figured out is, there was like a separate agenda. There was and the reason why this is important is because there's a caller that I really respect. OK, you guys give her lots of time. I guess her family survived the Holocaust.
OK,
just to make it quick. She says that Hamas has killed more Palestinians than the Israeli military.
That's
Hamas
fine. They're evil. I get it. Yeah,
okay,
they're bad.
Listen. And she says Hamas is hiding amongst the civilians. And although it's heartbreaking and sad, the IDF must continue the war until Hamas is,
Right. And what happens when all the Hamas are dead, when every member of Hamas are dead and all their kids are dead, will the people of Israel be safe then? Will they finally be safe then when they've murdered and killed everyone in the neighborhood? When they've killed 50,000? How many dead civilians is going to make Bibi Netanyahu brag that he's kept Israel safe? He doesn't keep Israel safe. That's the bullshit line he pushed on these poor people for 20 fucking years. He's a con man who propped up Hamas to keep them in power because he needed a bad guy to keep his fucking corrupt ass in power, too.
Yes, but here's what's important, okay? What she said is not bad, okay? I cannot fault her, but here's the thing. She said Hamas must be defeated. They will not be defeated if you continue to have this schism between... So the thing is, what is the schism? What's causing it? I'll tell you what's causing it.
Well, listen, I tell you what, Dave. Can you tell me the schism tomorrow? Because my guest is on hold, and I'm afraid I've got to run. But it's great to hear from you. We're going to get to all your calls tonight. But really quick, I want to take a break from all this suffering and talk about some more hilarious malfeasance back home. You may have already heard a judge in Manhattan has expanded the gag order imposed on Donald Trump over the hush money trial that's coming up in less than 2 weeks after he decided it would be smart to make a bunch of attacks on the judge and his family. D.A. Alvin Bragg said, defendant knows what he is doing and everyone else does, too. And I've been dying to speak to Corey Brettschneider about this, but he's been on spring break forever. You know, Professor Brettschneider, the man with a PhD in politics from Princeton, the law degree from Stanford, and he uses his superpowers to fight crime in the poli-sci department at Brown. He's written great pieces for Politico New York Times and Time. You have to get his book, The Oath and the Office, A Guide to the Constitution for Future Presidents. Corey, welcome back. It's so good to have you.
Thanks, John. I'm looking forward to the conversation and happy to be talking to you again.
I hope you had a nice spring break, Professor.
It was very good, you know, much needed, a little bit of skiing, and I somehow survived that, so now I'm back in action.
Well, listen, I know you know that Judge Juan Merchan here in New York has barred the former host of Celebrity Apprentice from going after his family members or those of D.A. Alvin Bragg, saying that Trump's smearing of relatives served no legitimate purpose. What's your take on what we're witnessing so far, and is there a method to Donald Trump's puerile belligerence?
He's just spewing, of course, and doing whatever he can to try to tank the charges against them. But he's facing a judge who, at least based on the order that I read, is really being careful. You know, of course, he's saying that the gag order is a violation of his free speech. But I actually went and read the five or so pages, and I was kind of blown away. It just meticulously defends, in the beginning, Trump's speech rights and says, look, this is a candidate for president. It's not a normal situation, and certainly he has a right to comment on general items of the day. He might even have a right to say our justice system is corrupt and that the charges shouldn't have been brought. But what he can't do, the judge says, and this is very forceful and specific, is call out members of this court. That's how the order puts it, and threaten members of this court or its family. And really, there are very direct in saying what he's doing, which is to threaten the judge's family, and they also carve out staff members and their families and say that's just off limits, that was really an attempt directly to subvert the justice system, and we're not going to be intimidated. And, you know, the threat is, we'll see if they make good on it, that if he keeps doing it, that there are sanctions that include possibly contempt of court and sending him to prison. So, you know, it's wow. Quite historic that this judge is clearly not going to take in it anymore. I think if you go after somebody's family, they really face a choice of whether they're going to back down or they're going to dig in. And this judge is not backing down. So I thought it was, under the circumstances, very measured, careful, defense of free speech at the same time as explaining that, you know, threats to the impartiality of the system as a whole just aren't going to be tolerated.
So this is fascinating, Professor, because it's almost like Donald Trump walked into this trap and had the gag order made more severe. But what happens when he violates it again? I mean, there is the argument to be made that while this might seem kind of brilliant on the part of the judge, maybe this is Trump's plan all along. One weekend in jail would net him millions in donations and set his base on fire more than any racist speech he can give.
Yeah, you know, look, we face a moment of truth here. Are we going to defend the rule of law or not? And the alternative, which was to just back off as Trump, you know, directly threatened a member of the judge's family, I just don't think that was an option. And at some point, rules have to be enforced. And, you know, it's true. He, of course, will try to fundraise off it. You know, there are other sanctions. They might issue fines that might be an in-between before we got to the prison sentence and to, you know, be less dramatic. But I think when it comes down to it, the judge has to play his or her role. And yeah, there's a negative consequence in the campaign. I don't really see an alternative if he does it again.
No.
To serious sanctions, and that might include imprisonment. And, you know, we never know how these things are going to play. That certainly the base will be riled up, and I agree with you, there'll be a fundraising benefit. But I don't think generally that independents looking at this, or Republicans who voted for him last time but are on the fence, are going to really be inspired by him being in prison again for threatening a judge's family. And
yeah.
So, you know, but when it comes down to it, it's about what the rule of law requires, and this judge has to play his role. And certainly Trump would have been in prison already if he was anyone else.
Oh, you're right.
It
You're right, but let me ask about that word, Professor. That he was threatening the judge's family, because he wasn't really openly threatening them. He was taunting them. He was doxing them. Certainly, he's doing his halfway thing he does, where someone else could commit some violence, and he can have plausible deniability. But what all the MAGA folks are steaming about is that they're claiming that this gag rule is somehow a violation of their ruler's free speech. This is a topic we discuss a lot. I know it means a lot to you. Why is a judge gagging a defendant not a limitation or a violation of his First Amendment rights?
You know, when it comes to the criminal justice system, you're not free to say anything you want. You can't get up in court and start screaming if somebody's on the stand. You can't in the middle of questioning a witness, you can't stand up and make a speech. So the courtroom has to have order, and part of that extends to the fairness of the system. And even if it's not a direct threat, you know, I think it's clear what's happening, especially in light of what's happened to other judges, which is that it's an indirect kind of threat by pointing out who this judge's child is, and that this child is an opponent of his, and, you know, all these sort of indirect things. He's triggering the base to try to put pressure. And I think the point of the court, too, is that, you know, if the idea is to try to intimidate the court into not doing the job that justice requires. Mm-hmm. So all of these things are not about free speech. They're about the integrity of the system. And I think, you know, it's just the most naive version of what a right to free speech is that you literally can say anything. You certainly can't threaten people, even in a normal circumstance. That's not protected free speech. And in a court proceeding, there's another layer, not just threats, but a threat to the system and impartiality. And that's what this judge is doing. So it's just a lie to say that this is about free speech.
Right, yeah, I agree with you.
But the carefulness that the judge has used in crafting the order. I just have to add that, you know, the judge defended Trump's free speech right and made that clear, but also carved out a very limited territory where Trump can't tread.
So Trump has already violated it. He did this morning. He posted a clip from Fox News of our old buddy Brian Kilmeade repeating the same lie about the fake social media account, supposedly from the judge's daughter, that led to the gag order being extended in the first place. There's a clip with Jonathan Turley talking to the Mensa candidates of Fox and Friends, and they slam Judge Mershon's daughter, and Trump posted it on his social media, which means Trump repeated it. He has officially violated the gag order. I don't think Judge Mershon is going to revoke bail for that, but it certainly seems like this petulant, fat little child is going to keep on walking as close to the line as his coward little feet can take him.
Right. That's exactly the way to put it. That, you know, it's almost like he's a bully, and he knows instinctually where the limits are of what he's going to get in trouble for and what he's not. And so a retweet, is that something that the judge is going to be able to say is a direct violation of the order? Possibly, but as you say, it's a gray area, and this judge is not going to imprison a candidate for president of the United States for a gray area. But I think if he directly violates it again, as I said, I think at some point there's no choice. And
Professor,
what a dramatic moment that would be, of course. It would be up there with U.S. versus Nixon or any of the most dramatic moments in history where the rule of law has come face to face with a powerful person.
I can't tell you how much I've missed this, Corey. No more spring break for you. I went into withdrawal last week because I wanted to talk to you about the Supreme Court with the Mifepristone ruling, and I'd love to get your thoughts on it. It seems like they still have a real keen interest in pushing their fetal personhood, but they knew that this was not going to be the case that got them there this year. I think these justices seem to have read the tea leaves and seen how unpopular the Dobbs ruling was, and they weren't willing to help the Democrats that much. What did you make of last week's ruling?
You know, I think it is a good example of how the court isn't really doing just raw politics. And as I've said many times, I do think that there is an interest, at least in some members, in pushing the idea of fetal personhood, certainly in limiting abortion access. But they can't just do it anyhow and with any case. And here, the weakness really comes at the very beginning of the case. Who's bringing this case? Like, whose interest is the justices wanted to know is in stopping the access to this certainly safe drug. And, you know, it's a group of doctors who are claiming that somehow they're harmed by the existence of the drug and being forced to prescribe it, except for a key detail, which is they're not forced to prescribe it. Federal law, you know, exempts them in all sorts of ways from having to write these prescriptions. And the Solicitor General and the justices, you know, really clued in on that. And, you know, they don't want to be embarrassed. So, yes, some of these justices, I think, do have an interest in limiting abortion rights. We've seen that in the Dobbs opinion. But they can't just do it anyway. You know, it's not a legislature. It's not a, they're not governors. They have cases before them that have to be good cases. And this is a terrible one. The idea that these doctors have some fundamental harm to them, which is what's required for standing in the first place, to get into court. It just, you know, stretches the imagination. And I don't think any of the justices are really biting on this one.
No, I mean, and also Viagra has a 15 times greater death rate. But I think we need to keep reminding everybody, it seems like the Comstock Act is going to be waiting in the wings. And it seems like Alito and Thomas have decided the Comstock Act is the way to imposing their narrow version of Catholicism on the Constitution.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, that's the sort of thing underneath all of this, the learning about the statute and the possibility that it could be read under, not this case, but a different case, to limit abortion access, gives us all something to do. Because unlike the Constitution, statutes can be amended, they can be repealed, and, you know, either repealing the Comstock Act wholesale or amending it seems to be something that we need to get on the agenda. Now, there are not the votes to do that yet, but, you know, abortion is such a powerful issue that focusing on the danger of a nationwide ban through a different kind of case should be galvanizing voters in massive numbers, and young people especially. You know, there is a desire of the justices, of certainly the pro-life movement, to have a nationwide ban on abortion. That's just a fact. How they're going to get there, what statute, what constitutional argument, that's for us to speculate and talk about, and is an interesting question, but they are trying to do it. And so if progressives care at all about abortion rights, they better get involved, because this next Congress might make all the difference. And the court, I mean, just to reiterate this, can, you know, the Dobbs ruling isn't going anywhere, but there are things that you can be done through legislation to just change this. We could pass a national right to abortion statute. We can repeal the Comstock Act. We can do a lot to at least limit the national ban on abortion that might be coming if we don't act.
So, Corey, with our remaining time, I got to ask you about Robert Kennedy Jr., who got turned down by Tulsi for the running mate. And now he came out and said that Joe Biden is more of a threat to democracy than Donald Trump, because supposedly Biden is using the federal government to shut down free speech, meaning probably what, disinformation about COVID? I mean, Donald Trump was literally trying to go after Jeff Bezos to harass his business because he didn't like what was said about him in The Washington Post. I mean, this is kind of crazy, right? I know that Robert Kennedy's there just to cash a check and get Trump elected in the swing states. But I mean, Nixon was far worse than anything any president I could think of could have done in our lifetimes to shut down the free speech.
Yeah, he's sort of just outrageous in his abuse of history, his misstatements. And he said Joe Biden is the, you know, worst example of a president abusing the federal government to shut down opposition. Then you look at what he's actually talking about. He's talking about agencies reaching out to Twitter and Facebook to try to keep disinformation about COVID from spreading. Now, of course, he, you know, has all sorts of whacked out views about vaccines. And so to him, that was a free speech violation. But Nixon used the IRS to target political opponents. Yep. He had an enemies list that was meant to be pursued by various levers of the powerful federal government. He had a plumber's unit in the basement of the White House, you know, trying to incapacitate Daniel Ellsberg and other political opponents, breaking into his psychiatrist's office. It's an outrageous claim, you know, by somebody who's knows nothing evidently about history or is so reckless that he couldn't care less. And he really is a Trump. He's clearly willing to say anything in order to just advance himself. What a disgrace this person is.
But I mean, you know, this guy came out, and again, I've had him on the show, and it's disgusting, and I've admired him for many, many years, and I've admired him as a radio host on Ring of Fire. I've admired him as an environmental lawyer. He's a fucking Trump flunky. That's it. I mean, to come out and say, oh, there's only one guy in this presidential race, Professor, who's been charged with criminal conspiracy to overturn democracy. Right. That's Trump.
Right.
Is it fair to say at this point that RFK Jr. is just running to get this reality show racist landlord reelected? I mean, I think Robert Kennedy Jr. is the greatest threat to democracy right now.
Either that, or he's just a complete narcissist idiot who's just out there saying his random things to try to get himself attention. You know, either way, this isn't a serious run. This isn't a serious person. I wish I could say that I, you know, shared the respect. I understand in the past that that was true, but I think he's just destroyed any sense of either credibility or integrity. And as a fan of Curb Your Enthusiasm, I'm so sorry to see Cheryl Hines get involved in this race too. It's, you know, it's really, really a dangerous moment. And to claim that Biden is the threat is about the most outrageous thing. It's I think up there with the most outrageous things Trump has said too.
They're working for Trump. All they have to do is just peel enough dude bros off in seven states. And that's all they're trying. Enough anti-vax dude bros in seven states to return this country to fucking Celebrity Apprentice. Professor, are the best. Thank you for classing up our show. Welcome back. What is the best way for our audience to follow you, Corey, and keep up with your work?
You can find my stuff on CoreyBretschneider.com and buy an advanced copy of The Presidents and the People. Order it from your local bookstore. We're trying to get it in bookstores at this point. So The Presidents and the People.
Fantastic. Cannot wait. Corey, thank you so much. We're going to take a very quick break. We'll be back in just a moment with your calls at 866-997-4748. This is Progress.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
I'm John Fugelsang. This is SiriusXM Progress. We're going to be joined in just a moment by our friend, the Rude Pundit. But let's go back to the phones, if we might. Catherine is on line two, calling us from Vegas. Catherine, thank you for your patience on hold. You're on SiriusXM Progress. Hello.
Hello. Thank you. So first of all, a quick note. The latest reporting I heard about the World Food Kitchen strike was that it wasn't simultaneous. It was sequential. Meaning,
yeah, they were sequential.
Yes, the first vehicle was hit and they were moving the wounded from one of the vehicles to another vehicle.
Correct.
And then the next vehicle got hit. So,
correct.
You know, this is so... I'm sorry, but you'll never convince me this was an accident.
Same here.
However, a note to the last caller. You think that by not voting Biden, you're going to hurt Biden, you're going to send Biden a message. I promise you what happened with the bombing of those World Central Kitchen relief workers hurt Joe Biden more than you ever could.
Yeah.
Because he is a truly empathetic person. And I had the pleasure of meeting him in person. And if you've ever met him in person, the thing that comes across more than anything, he cares about people. He wants to talk to people. When he's on a line shaking hands or he's in a room meeting people, he wants to hug people. He wants to hear your stories. He genuinely cares.
Yes.
And so if you think that withholding your vote from him is going to hurt him, you are kidding yourself. The people it's going to hurt are the Palestinian people. Donald Trump intentionally moved the embassy to stick his thumb in the eye of the Palestinian people. That's and when Netanyahu does
I'm sorry. Donald Trump only did that to make Sheldon Adelson happy because Adelson gave him $100 million. I mean, he did that as a gift, as a bribe. But go on, please.
Okay, but part of the reason that Netanyahu is doing this stuff is because he knows it hurts Biden and he wants a shill in the White House in the form of Donald Trump. He doesn't want somebody who's going to question or second guess anything that he does. And so you are helping Netanyahu murder people by helping Trump get elected. And you can reject the idea all you like that you not voting for Biden doesn't help Trump.
It does help Trump.
Whether or not you choose to accept reality, the fact is, if you do not vote for Biden, that is one less vote that Donald Trump has to get to win, whether or not you vote for Trump. So by not voting for Biden, you're making the number that Trump has to get to win one vote lower.
That's it, man.
If you vote for Biden, it's actually a net two that Donald Trump has to climb.
Well,
because he has to,
in terms of the popular vote, it only matters in seven states. So for me, I don't get as upset when someone does a third party protest vote in a safe blue state or an obvious red state, because it's not going to have that much of an impact on the final result. But when it comes down to those seven states where Robert Kennedy is spending all the money is being done to get clueless white people who can't make up their minds in seven states alone. That's who's going to decide everything. That's who's going to decide the future of Mideast policy. That's who's going to decide if more Palestinians get slaughtered.
I 100% get that. However, it needs to be said over and over and over again. Look at how many people withheld their vote from Hillary because they wanted to be able to say after Hillary won, well, I didn't vote for her.
And it was all men in swing states without uteruses who did it. And I call them out all the time.
Right. And so, I always say that there are angels that walk among us. And Jose Andre is one of those people who I have always put in that category because what he does is just, I mean, it is the faith that the Republicans preach. Like, they claim that they adhere to the faith and he practices the faith. And there was a preacher who wrote a book on TV this morning on Morning Joe, who was basically saying, when they ask him, how do you approach these people and have this conversation, the right wingers that have overtaken the religion? And he says, I start with a passage of the Bible, a teaching of Jesus. For example, the story of the Good Samaritan,
right,
or the welcome the stranger, and say, do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe in that? Do you believe Jesus was correct when he said that?
Yes.
Then if you agree with that, then why do you say the opposite in this? Start from the religion and don't go into the politics. Just start from the religion.
This is what I do all the time. I alienate all my producers and my family and my agents and my listeners. I alienate with this because it's exactly the way to do it. Call out their false piety at the source. They're not Christian. They don't follow the teachings of the Nazarene. It's camouflage for them. We got to be in the camouflage removal business and reveal that they have no spiritual concerns. They don't give a rat's ass about what Jesus taught. They just use it as cover for cruelty and selfishness.
100%. And just as a last note, if you want to restore your faith in humanity, you know, I always say, like, watch the documentaries about people like Jose Andre, or there's the one about Mr. Rogers, the Won't You Be My Neighbor about Mr. Rogers.
Wonderful
it'll
documentary.
Make you sick
I own
when you
that
see
one.
The right wingers attach. Yeah, it'll make you sick when you see the right wingers attacking him. But the point is like, these are people that will restore your faith in humanity and make you understand why we have to be so fierce in fighting and defending our democracy.
Amen. Thank you so much, Catherine. I love this call. Please call more often. You really class up the show and balance out my awfulness. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. I also find there's a couple of narrative movies I try to watch. I try to watch Gandhi every couple of years. I try to watch Selma every couple of years. And I try to watch Born on the 4th of July. There's just a few films out there that I find, and documentaries, of course. The Mr. Rogers, Won't You Be My Neighbor? That film will talk you off a ledge anytime you need it. Let me go to Lance in Texas. Lance, thank you so much for your patience on hold. You're on Progress.
Well, I'm going to spoil the love fest. I feel guilty already.
Well, good. I'm Catholic. I'll pour guilt all over you.
I could not in a million years, and I have a thick hide, I could not look someone, a Palestinian or Muslim American, in the face. Couldn't even look at myself in the mirror if I said, look, I know it sucks that Biden is giving out 2,000-pound bombs to Bibi the Butcher to slaughter every Palestinian and get his hands on, but you really ought to vote for the guy who is murdering your family, your friends, your relatives. I just can't do it. If there's a lunatic on the loose in my neighborhood who's shooting up the place and somebody's handing him ammo so he can keep doing it,
yep,
and who's stopping the police and anyone else from trying to stop the lunatic, that person is just as guilty as the shooter himself. Biden has the blood of Palestinians all over him as well, just as much as Netanyahu.
Not as much as Netanyahu, but the rest of the statement I agree with. I don't think anyone has the blood on the Palestinians as much as Netanyahu.
Every bomb Netanyahu drops, every bullet his cowardly soldiers use when they shoot boys in the back, every artillery shell, all has made in the USA stamped on it.
I'm with you. Now, my question
to Belgium or Britain.
I'm with you. My question for you is this.
Oh, yeah.
Will the Palestinians be in better shape with Donald Trump in the White House, who takes delight in their suffering and who wants to have his Muslim ban because his racism is so total? I mean, will Muslims in America, will the outraged Muslims in Dearborn who voted uncommitted, will their lives be better if it's Donald Trump? I'm not defending Biden here. I'm talking about the choice that we're all facing.
When one serial killer is coming after you with a machete, the thing is to stop that one serial killer with the machete, not
but
worry
you're implying
about the
that
one
Biden
that might
and
be
Trump
in the
house are equal.
The other end of the street.
Are Biden and Trump equally dangerous to democracy and the lives of Muslims in your mind?
To the lives of Muslims, yes.
Okay.
Without a
I
doubt. Biden
that.
Has shown that time and time again. He has a longer track record of wanting to kill Muslims than Trump does. Trump didn't get into the Muslim hating bandwagon until he started running for office. He mostly contained his hate. Reserved his hatred for black people and American Indians.
Right, yeah, but Donald Trump, I think, has really gone over and above when it comes to the Muslim ban, the lies he's told, the lies he told about 9/11, the lies he continues to repeat about 9/11. Again, I'm not defending Biden here, but
Biden was still claiming
like,
that Saddam Hussein was behind the World Trade Center bombing. He supported
war
in Iraq.
Biden is
he
not
did support
claiming
the war in Iraq.
Biden is not. He's not. Biden is not claiming Saddam Hussein was behind the World Trade Center bombing.
He's the one who platformed Robert Mueller when he was there at those Senate hearings saying, well, we have reason to believe that Saddam Hussein had a hand in the September 11 attack.
You know what? You find me where Joe Biden's on the record saying he believes that Saddam Hussein is behind 9/11, and I will apologize to you, my friend.
Name a bombing of Muslims that he did not support.
Wait a second.
It
I'm just addressing your first
on
one.
Right now.
I'm addressing your first one, my friend. I'm addressing your first one about 9/11. It's batshit. It's crazy. Even Bush just dropped that lie after a while. But listen,
oh,
I'm
after
not here
a while he dropped it. But when they were ginning up the mob to go after Iraq, he was totally on board with it. He thought it was the most Jim Dandy thing. In fact, he and a lot of other establishment Democrats, like the Clintons, like others, They did not hesitate to browbeat, you know, dirty hippies for being opposed to the Iraq war.
I remember, man. I was there and I was protesting all of it. I will say that I don't put Democrats on the same level as Republicans for that. Democrats voted to give Bush authorization. It's still bullshit. It was wrong. And it's the reason why Hillary Clinton and John Kerry never became president. But I'm saying this is all I'm saying. Joe Biden might just be paying lip service, but Donald Trump wants to see the slaughter and ethnic cleansing and genocide of everyone there. And I don't believe Joe Biden wants every Palestinian murdered. Jared Kushner is already talking about the real estate opportunities when they turn Gaza into beachfront condos. They are trying to slaughter everyone and put up housing.
If Biden didn't want the slaughter to continue, all Biden has to do to stop the slaughter, he could have done it months ago. Called up Netanyahu and told him, this ends now. Reagan did it to Menachem Begin.
One phone call put an end to it. I know.
Biden will not do it because he does not want it to stop. If he wanted to
stop, this is the problem that we're facing.
With a single phone call.
This is the problem we're facing, because I agree with everything you say, but I maintain Donald Trump is much, much, much worse for Muslims, and much worse for women, and much worse for immigrants, and
well,
much
I'm not
worse
voting
for poor
him
people.
Either.
Well, right on, but I'm saying one of them's got to win it. RFK is not going to do it. Cornel West is not going to ride to our rescue. It's going to be one of these two. And when I look at the Supreme Court, I'm sorry, acknowledging everything we're talking about, I would take Biden over Trump for judge appointments only 10 times out of 10.
So are you willing to say, let's say Biden wins and he gets to appoint Sotomayor and Clarence Thomas's successors. Are you willing to say, well, you know what? It was worth it for all those Palestinians to die so we can get two
No, that's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is more Palestinians will die if Donald Trump is president.
More Palestinians are going to die if Joe Biden gets reelected.
I'm saying a greater number. A greater number. You've got Joe Biden, who's paying lip service to them, who did get a brief ceasefire a few months ago, and you've got Donald Trump, who wants them all dead. I can't compare the two. One's not doing enough. One wants genocide. I'll take the one who's not doing enough and is letting us all down over the one who wants fucking mass murder of women and children. They are not the same, my friend.
If Biden didn't want the mass murder, he would have stopped it. He could have stopped it easily.
I know.
But
I think they're focusing too much.
He wants it to continue.
He wants to be reelected. He wants to be reelected. And that's what's driving all of this.
And then once he's reelected, he'll just give them more 2,000-pound bombs to drop on Palestinians.
I don't know. I began the entire show criticizing him over this, and I agree with most of the points you're making. I maintain that Donald Trump is worse for Palestine and worse for us. And I got to run because I got 9,000 callers on hold, but I really appreciate it. Call up anytime. We can talk about it more. Lance, I appreciate everything you're saying. I really do. We're at 866-997-4748. Do we have our guest yet?
No, not yet.
That's fine. I'm enjoying this. Let's go back to the phones, if you guys don't mind, because Todd is on the line from Michigan. Todd, tell me everything about Gaza. Let's keep it going.
You know what? I just want to address that last fellow a second ago. He's saying Biden should have told him this and Biden should have told him that. You know what? You don't know what went on in those conversations.
Exactly.
And what kind of BS that, you know, Netanyahu and just he you don't know. So for somebody to come out and say that is just insane. But anyway, let me get to my main point, if you don't
but
mind, John.
I understand why people are so frustrated and disappointed and mad at this president.
Yes.
I get it.
Yeah, but it's what's your alternative? Really?
That's it. That's the point. That's the alternative.
That
it
around
sucks.
The world?
Yes, that's the whole point. The point is you've got Donald Trump who will facilitate Palestinian genocide and Ukrainian genocide. That's what he wants. And while we're at it, you'll get a national abortion ban. But oh boy, you showed Biden. I mean, I'm sorry the choices are so compromised, my friends.
Well, but the real reason I'm calling is, you know, this behavior of Israel to go after the food truck, the chef's trucks there. This reminds me of 67 during the war, their little war, and the Israelis decided the USS Liberty was listening to too much of what was going on because that was our spy ship out there. USS
right.
flags everywhere. They knew exactly who it was. They strafed it a few times. The calls went out. This is a U.S. ship that you're hitting. And then they followed it up with torpedoes. I mean, they've done this, you know, repeatedly spit in our face during their little skirmishes.
I agree, sir.
And so it's just this is just a continuation of Israel's behavior over, you know, their entire existence.
I agree.
And it's just
well,
you know,
not over their entire existence. No, I can't say that I agree with all of that because there have been great moments and I love Israel and I love Israeli people. And the greatest moment of my life in politics was Jimmy Carter and Menachem Begin and Anwar Sadat signing the Camp David Peace Accords.
Exactly. But, you know, who invented the car bomb?
Well, who invented the nuke? We can play this with our country all day.
No. But I'm just saying, you know, John, it's just. You know, Israel. You know, they say are our friends, and they pile dirt behind our back, and then they push us over.
I mean, this is what you know, Munich is about. I mean, it's what Spielberg's one of his most underrated films, and it's like, are you going to become a monster to defeat a monster? And that's right. what we're exactly. facing right now. Except this is a bit different because this is Netanyahu propping himself up and trying to hang on to his earthly power. He's facing many legal repercussions for his corruption. He's the guy who kept Hamas in power. Because he knew if he had a bad guy like them, there'd never be talk of a two-state solution.
He put he placed both ends against the middle, and and it's a dangerous game because and again, you can go back to 9/11. It was like the intelligence was there. People were told, "Look out! This is what's going to happen." And Netanyahu, Bush ignored it. Netanyahu ignored it. It's the same thing. They've got this power structure that they're involved in, and they think that they know everything.
You got it, man. You got it. Thank you so much.
All right.
I appreciate the call. We're at 866.
Sorry to bore you tonight, John, but
you didn't bore me at all. No, I mean, but this is where we're facing. And look, I'm working on the Progress Channel. This would be a lot easier a few years ago on the other channel where I'd come out and trash the Democrats all day. I've never been a Democrat. I've never belonged to the party. I always vote that way because it's a clear, clear black and white moral distinction. And the only thing I've witnessed in my lifetime that causes any kind of social improvement in this country is electing Democrats and then kicking their ass and pressuring them day by day. It's the only way we get results. When people just vote Democrat and check out for 4 years, we get nowhere. So I'm a big believer in it, and I'm not going to sit here and be blindly obedient. But as Joe Biden on his worst day is better for Muslims, better for Israelis, better for Americans, better for Christians, better for children, immigrants, women, seniors, you name it, then comb over Caligula, who is Vladimir Putin's jizz rag. 866-9. He is, too, by the way. That's what he is. And you can call him that, Donald Trump. He's a big old evil sack of pus.
I know jizz rags. Jizz rags are a good friend of mine. He is no jizz rag.
Really? I thought that was a pretty cunning thing to call him. We're as we get later, we become more vulgar on the broadcast. That's the nice thing about working this hour. Let me go, if I may, to Mike in Michigan on line 3. Hi, Mike. Welcome. Thanks for waiting on hold.
I've had cleaner jizz rags than that.
Okay.
I tell you, Joe's got to call a press conference. He's got to get on TV and address this, man. I really think he should.
I agree.
This is the top notch stuff. You got to speak out against it. And
I mean, if he wants to get reelected, he should.
He won't do it.
He won't do it, but he should if he wants to get. I mean, this is hurting him. This is hurting him little bit by little bit. He's not going to lose by Donald Trump beating him. It's going to be RFK takes a few votes here. Cornel West takes a few votes there. Voter intimidation and voter ID laws take a few votes there. You know how they're going to do this. They're going to try and make it death by 1,000 cuts.
Yeah. So you got to stand up and say something. I mean, this is really a throwing things in a loop. I live in Michigan. I know a lot of folks that are upset about this really big time. But
yeah, me too.
Hey, the reason I call, I want to mention, I was going to talk about Bobby Kennedy, but I'm sick.
Let's talk about it.
No, that's just he needs to be.
You brought him up.
I don't know what would be worse, him as vice president to. With Trump, what would be easier?
He's not going to be vice president to Trump. He just picked his own vice president, and she's liberal. She's the ex-wife of the Google guy. So now you'll notice all the Fox News people and the Charlie Kirks who've been pushing Franklin Graham so hard for the last year. Now they're turning on him. They thought he was on their side. Now they think he's liberal. Ironically, did I say Franklin Graham? I'm sorry. I'm thinking of a different untalented child of someone. RFK Jr. Thank you. Now they're all the right wingers are turning on RFK Jr., which is ironic because now he's their best hope. Before, he was going to take votes away from Trump. Now it looks like he's going to take votes away from Biden. Either way, it's appalling what he's doing. My heart is broken by what he's doing. And I think I've said it before. When we start hearing in the mainstream press all about his first wife, that's how you know Democrats are trying to shut this down. Until you start hearing mainstream press stories about why his first wife killed herself, the Democrats aren't afraid of this guy. That's how I'm measuring it.
Hey, you ever have Bobby Seale on your program?
No, I'd love to. I've never met Bobby Seale.
I'm thought of him when about, you know, the difference in the our judicial system between poor people and rich people. I mean, yeah. Bobby Seals, remember what they did to him? They taped his mouth and bound him and gagged him.
Yeah.
In the trial. And what was he? What was he? What was he arrested for?
What was Bobby Seale arrested?
Riot. Bobby Seals was arrested for being part of trying to incite a riot.
You mean with the Chicago 8?
Yeah.
Yeah. And the Black Panthers also. He was tried while he was in jail. They tried him for the Black Panthers.
Yeah. Well, who tried to incite a riot on January 6th?
Exactly right. I don't even call it a riot. I call it an act of terrorism.
He should be bound and gagged. I mean, directly.
let's leave our fetishes out of this, my friend. Let's leave our personal kinks out of this whole discussion. Look, I mean, as far as RFK, he's not running for president. He can't become president, but he can get Trump elected president. So look and see who's financing him. And it's one of the Mellons. It's the same guy who's the top donor to Trump is also the same donor to RFK Jr. And it's not because he likes both of their ideologies equally.
Wow. Well, keep preaching, brother.
Hey, thanks, man. Hey, as long as we got Bobby Kennedy, a former heroin user, warning us about how bad vaccines are for you. Jesus wept. We're at 866-997-4748. 866-997-GRIT. We're going to get to all of your calls tonight. We're going to take a really quick break. We'll be right back in just one moment. Nothing but your calls. This is Progress.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Really appreciate all these opinions and takes on the White House and Gaza and Israel. I thank everybody for being respectful. That's been super awesome. You know, look, I want to see Joe Biden reelected, because if it's the choice between Joe Biden and Donald Trump, it's an easy choice. But he seems to believe that he can just wait this out, that the generals are going to revolt, or that the protests are going to take him out of power, or that they're going to finally have early elections. But American law prohibits our government from sending military aid to foreign militaries to foreign countries who have been credibly implicated in gross violations of human rights. The statutes are known as the Leahy Law, and it's named for, you know, Pat Leahy, the former Vermont senator. He's I think 84 right now. And he sponsored these laws, saying that our government cannot send foreign or military aid or conduct training programs with foreign militaries who've been credibly implicated in gross violations of human rights. Now, Pat Leahy's retired. He just came out of retirement to say he believes that right now the United States is violating that law by giving and selling arms and other assistance to Israel for this particular campaign, like $4 billion in the recent government funding package, over 100 arms transfers, most of which were done in secret, including small diameter bombs, bunker busters, precision guided munitions. And now they're pushing an additional $32 billion with a B in weapons, $14 billion supplemental, another $18 billion package that could bring as many as 25 F-15 warplanes from Boeing. This is the military industrial complex Eisenhower warned us about. Only now it's not manifesting its power by us declaring war. It's just filling up the wars of others. And again, Israel risks starving to death the 101 Israeli hostages who are still believed to be alive somewhere in Gaza. This is not making the people of Israel safer. I have to say that every time. Let's go back to the phones. You guys have been great. Steve in L.A. on line 9. Thank you for your patience. You're on Progress.
Hi, John.
Hey.
John, how are you? Hey, listen.
I'm good.
Every
Thank
time
you.
I'm
how
on
you?
Hold and we're talking about Israel, my thunder gets stolen by a lot of your smart callers. So
now, I'm sure you got plenty of points.
I'm just gonna add in a few things.
Please.
I heard Karine Jean-Pierre's response to this, and the first thing I thought was, where's Biden? Yeah. He sends Karine Jean-Pierre out on this, and I have been thinking that the strategists around Biden have been hiding him. It's really, really
I
simple.
Don't know.
He's not out there. He's not showing his face.
And he's out there. He's showing his face. But on this, I think with this issue, they are handling it all walking on eggshells because this ties in so deeply to the re-election. And listen, I'll even go a step further. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. I really do believe this White House believes that Donald Trump would be very bad for America. And that is why they are trying to thread this needle so delicately, because they think that much worse things will happen if Biden stands up to Netanyahu and then winds up losing because of it. What happens to the region then? What happens to world peace then? What happens to women's reproductive rights then? We got everything.
Yeah, no, I know. Listen, Biden's a swell guy. He has a good heart. He's an empathetic
guy. I'm frustrated too.
But the narrative is that he's not running things, okay? And sending Christine Jean-Pierre out there to say, hey, condolences, Netanyahu's making him look weak. I mean, he looks very well, we told him, and, you know, hey, I go back to the days when I was, having dinner with Golda, and she, blah 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 blah.
Yeah,
it ain't working. His legacy, if he loses, is not going to be that he got infrastructure done. It's going to be that he let Trump back in there, and I just don't think he has the power.
I got to disagree with you there. I agree with everything except
listen to him, he doesn't have any power of articulation. There's no bully pulpit. Nothing.
Right. But my whole point is,
for months,
it won't be Joe Biden who lets Donald Trump back in. It will be the American voters.
It'll be the Democrats that went down this line, and it's their strategic.
How is it the Democrats? If Joe Biden loses the Electoral College, it'll be because of the voters.
No, nobody walked in there and said, look, Joe, you've done a great job. You've been a perfect bridge to what we need. And
how do we know that? Maybe they did.
Maybe they did. It's not working.
But who should run then?
And the same thing that may happen with Sonia Sotomayor.
I'm with you, and I respect where you're coming from. I know, but my question is, who is the Democrat that's not Joe Biden that has a better chance of getting 270 electoral votes and achieving more with an evenly divided Congress? Tell me who that Democrat is, and I will campaign for them door to door.
Don't worry about Joe Biden reaching across the aisle. I mean, that's great. If he doesn't win the
president. No, my friend, you're the one talking about, you're the one saying someone should have told Biden to sit this out. I'm saying, who is the Democrat who's going to get 270 electoral votes, beat Donald Trump, and achieve more than Biden has with this divided Congress? Tell me who that is, and I'll support them.
I would have loved to have seen Shapiro out on the campaign trail. I would love to have seen Gavin Newsom out there. I'd love to see anybody out there that can articulate a argument against this.
Those guys are out there. Gavin Newsom is out there being very articulate, and so is Shapiro. They're just not running for president.
That's not going to be a stand-in for the guy that has the bully pulpit. It's just a bad strategy, and I'm really starting to think this isn't working.
Oh, I appreciate your voice, man. I think there's a lot of people that agree with you. There's many who agree with you,
man. And
I love you back.
Yep.
Listen, call up anytime. I really appreciate it. I'm here to learn, too. And there's no easy solutions in this. You know, my deal is that I am obliged, because of how I was raised, I have to pray for the well-being of the people in Israel and the people in Palestine. It's very hard for me to play favorites, especially when both sides' leadership is so morally lacking. And I just want to know, I want to vote for whoever is going to have the policies that will hurt the fewest and help the most. That's how I judge every time I ever vote. And it's why I've generally always voted Democrat. I voted third party in the past as well, but only in very safe blue states, guys. If you are in a swing state and you vote third party, you are why women don't have abortion rights anymore. We are at 866-997-4748, 866-997-GRIT. I just want to play one more clip. This is pretty contentious, as long as we're deep in this. Here's National Security Spokesman John Kirby. He had a, did you catch him today on the C-SPAN? He had a pretty contentious back and forth with reporters about exactly what we're discussing. Our continued military support for Israel when the civilian deaths are rising and the available aid is shrinking. Here's Kirby.
How can the U.S. continue to send aid to Israel without any conditions? Yes, they have a right.
We're not sending aid to Israel. We're sending aid into Gaza, and that's
weapons. How can they? How can the U.S. continue to send military aid
military
to
assistance.
Israel without any conditions? Is there no red line that
you know, comes to? You know, we've had this discussion, you and me, quite a bit from up here. They're still under a viable threat of Hamas. We're still going to make sure that they can defend themselves and that 7th of October doesn't happen again. That doesn't mean that it's a free pass, that we look the other way when something like this happens, yeah, or that we aren't and haven't since the beginning of the conflict urged the Israelis to be more precise, to be more careful, and quite frankly, to increase the amount of humanitarian assistance that gets in. You know, I haven't been asked about it yet, but I expect that I would be. You know, there was a discussion just yesterday with our Israeli counterparts about Rafah. Now, this one was done virtually. We expect there'll be an in-person meeting here in a week's time or so. But the whole reason to have that meeting was to talk about our concerns over a major ground operation in Rafah and to present viable alternatives for them to be more precise and more targeted. So the idea that we're some plastic graveyard here, we're not paying attention to the civilian casualties or the civilian suffering is just not true.
Right, but these are verbal urgings, verbal commitments. There's no other incentive besides the urgings.
I know, you want us to hang some sort of condition over their neck. And what I'm telling you is that we continue to work with the Israelis to make sure that they are as precise as they can be and that more aid's getting in, and we're going to continue to take that approach.
We are at 866-997-4748 and very grateful for your calls. Let's get back to it. Jim is on the line in Michigan. Jim, thank you for your patience. You're on Progress. Hello.
Oh my God! I really didn't want to have to. It's really awful what's going on over there. It breaks my heart to hear these detailed stories. But as I've said before, it's a political calculation. Biden has to win the election, and the Jewish organizations, and many of them are, you know, at odds with each other. But they've got more money in lobbying than oil and gas put together, and the thing is, now we've got more anti-abortion stuff. What's going on in Florida? That's all going to influence, and it's a political calculation to say.
I agree.
We're not going to miss those Arab American Palestinian votes in Michigan because that gift that the Supreme Court of Florida gave the Democrats yesterday was incredible.
Well, it's you know, I want to talk about this because it's a fascinating ruling they had. There was two really important decisions. One was they upheld the 15-week abortion ban, which is going to trigger a 6-week abortion ban before many women even know they're pregnant. And that might be the bigger gift to Democrats, to be honest, because that's just the level of evil. But then, then they came down and said, OK, we're going to let it be on the ballot. We are going to let you have this ballot measure that would sanctify abortion rights in the state of Florida. So Democrats think they've got a real chance to turn Florida back into a battleground state after 20 years over this.
You know what else is on the ballot? Marijuana.
I know, cannabis, too. But here's the thing.
So you're looking at this. It's the Ohio thing all over again.
It's a bit different.
Sort of.
Because I think Democrats know they can't win Florida, but they can compete. And what they can do is force the Republicans to spend a lot of money in a state where they can't afford to spend a lot of money. Republican coffers are pretty dry right now. They haven't had a lot of laundered foreign money come in yet. So they were planning on not having to spend a lot to carry Florida. Now, Democrats are going to be talking a good game that they can tip it. That now, with polls, they're so close, they could with 5% of voters undecided in Florida, they're going to lean in on that. On abortion and on cannabis, and Republicans are going to spend a ton of money. Again, I don't think the Democrats have a definite clear shot at this, But Republicans using resources to try to hold on to Florida will make their defenses a lot thinner in states like Ohio and Virginia and even Alabama.
The other thing is, you know, Lance really broke my heart, the guy from Texas, I'll have to say. And it's awful, those things. And but the thing is, he had a chunk of misinformation. Biden does bear a significant amount of blame for Iraq, for sure. But mm-hmm. he did not say, I couldn't find it. I quickly Googled that.
No, he never said that.
Talked, I couldn't find any of that 9/11 conspiracy there coming from him.
Yeah.
So the other thing is, John Sinclair died. And,
yeah, we talked about that, and we played the song, too.
But you didn't talk about how Michigan went without pot laws for 22 days, or did you?
Didn't talk about that. They went without pot laws for 22 days back then, you mean?
In March 9th, 1972, the Michigan Supreme Court, as a result of his sentence, threw out their pot law. And
yeah.
there was a new less draconian pot law to come into effect on...
We talked about this. They took it down from a felony to a, they reduced it to a right. misdemeanor, and the penalty for possession of small amounts went from 10 years to up to 1 year. And because yeah. Sinclair had already served 2.5 years, they sprung him 3 days after the concert.
Right. But they sprung him by throwing the law out. And so the new law was slated to come in 22 days after they threw that out. So Michigan was without a pot law. And Sinclair... Sinclair and those reporters in Detroit had a big old press conference. Maybe it was in Ann Arbor, but the reporters and everybody toked up and got stoned at the press conference.
So
in
funny.
March
that part
of
I didn't know.
And so I live in the west side of the state. We didn't know any of this shit was going on. Had no clue.
Nice.
And people are going like, hey, there's bearded hippies sitting on the steps of the Capitol in Lansing smoking dope. And we're like, you're full of shit. That can't be true. But, you know, it probably was true.
Yeah, well, I'm glad they had those 10 days. And, of course, it's a lot easier to get legal weed in Michigan now. And it's because of guys like John Sinclair who went to jail for it.
Exactly. I got busted on the new law in 1973. It was $150 and one night in jail, which is about $600 in today's
money. Wow. Wow.
So, yeah, but it would have been a hell of a lot worse if I would have gotten busted a year earlier.
Jim, I that's an amazing story. I thank you so, so much for the call. We are
okay.
at 86. Have a good one, man. 866-997-4748. We got so many callers. I can't help it. James in Chicago, thank you for waiting on hold. Welcome. You're on Progress.
Hey, how's it going, Jeff?
Good. How are you, sir?
I am well. I think it's really interesting how these how so many are trying to straddle the fence with Joe Biden's presidency. You know,
tell me.
Regard the person and look at the policy. You know, look at the policies that have advanced us to where we are now.
Mm-hmm.
Israel has been a problem since, 1948? You know, it's been, you know, this mess has been going on for quite a long while. It's never been just completely peaceful. Everything's just been all hunky-dory, and everybody's pointing the finger. Oh, it's his fault, it's his fault. No.
This conflict did not begin on October 7th, not at all.
It did not. It's been going on for quite a while. And we cannot take it, because we cannot... take for granted what's going on. We can't take for granted that all of the policies that this administration has pushed forward, how it's working out. And then taking into consideration what happened with the policy that they didn't want to do the broadband. The Republicans don't want to do broadband.
Yeah.
They'll sit back and say, oh, look at Marjorie Taylor Greene with her taking credit for something that she voted against.
I know. But, I mean, Republicans, they opposed rural electrification as well. Why are we surprised that they're opposing rural broadband access?
You know, just like in New Mexico, you got parts of New Mexico right outside of the major cities that have no freaking electricity. They don't even, you know, and basically no utilities.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's ridiculous. But we keep on looking at things as superficial as possible. And for the dummy, the Kennedy guy who wants to get in there and cause the problem, people need to really start looking. Like you say, follow the money. You'll find out where the problems are.
You got it, man. That's it. Yeah. And who is funding him? I mean, one of the melons that the Trump's largest individual donor is also RFK Jr.'s largest individual donor. And everybody knows it.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Yeah. People need to start looking at what the reality is that the corporations want to run everything into the ground. They don't care about clean water. They don't care. They don't care if you have good health care. They don't care if you make good a living wage. They definitely don't want you to think about the college. The now Joe Biden is doing something about all of this college debt, all of that money that could be going into the economy. Oh, we don't want to do anything about that.
They don't want to do anything about it. Nope. And if you start complaining about this stuff, they'll start warning you about those illegals crossing the border, and Biden let it happen. All they can do is deflect. All they can do is spread more fear and racism.
Who's hiring the illegals?
It's not, that's it. Donald Trump is hiring the illegals. That's it, man.
You got a bunch of them working everywhere for them, just like all of those billionaires. If they stop hiring them, if they don't hire them, they wouldn't come.
Amen. That's the biggest point I make all the time. That is my obsession. It is, they are crossing the border because of Americans' help wanted sign on this side of the border. And there are no Republicans who want to take down the help wanted sign, because this way they have it both ways. They get to be racist and have an exploitable, brown skinned, marginalized labor force. They can give less than minimum wage, and they can sell racism to their voting base over the same workers they're allowing to come here and work. Right.
Interesting about that, and then I'll let you go because I know you've got other callers. This is what's more interesting. You tell me, you got a racist that's in the same boat I'm a working stiff, but
that's
you'll vote against everything that'll make things better for us both.
That's it.
Because he's a racist. This is great.
This is how they broke up the unions. They said to union guys, you want that black guy making the same money as you? They used racism to break the back of organized labor two generations ago. And divide and conquer is all they've got. But you're right. As soon as hardworking white people realize they have more in common with hardworking black and brown people than they do with people like Trump, you will then and only then see some real change in this country.
There it is.
Amen. Thank you, sir. I appreciate the call. If you're just joining us, we are monitoring the situation overseas after a 7.5 magnitude earthquake has hit Japan. Tsunami warnings have now been issued in Taiwan, Okinawa, Japan, and the Philippines. There's some really disturbing footage out there. Buildings were knocked down all over the place. And there was another earthquake with a magnitude of about 6.6 that followed afterwards. Reports of water levels are dropping rapidly due to a possible tsunami. We will let you know as we hear more over here. Let's go back to the phones. We're at 866-997-4748. 866-997-GRIT. Stacy in Oregon on line 8. Thank you so much for your patience. You're on Progress.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. I was a little upset by a prior caller. That's why I called
understand.
In. But your Chicago caller, ditto on everything.
Yeah, what a gentleman. I agree.
Oh, yep. Yeah, follow the money. That's for sure.
Yeah.
But wanting another candidate other than Biden, it's one, not going to happen. Two, not going to work. Biden can stand on what he's done the last few years. He's done everything he could do. And I'm an independent voter forever. I'm older than the wind. And been a nurse for 31 years. He needs to work a little more on the health care issues that we have, mental health issues.
Yes.
Certainly that will help him. But he's doing the right thing. Pretty much. We know not so much for Israel right now. That's turned so bad. But their leader is pretty much got to go. But, yeah. So Oregon, blue as can be, we've got the redness down here in southern Oregon. But I sit here with my One Love bumper sticker and the dudes with the pickup trucks and their American flags flying. I'm like, yeah, America's great. Quit tailgating me because you don't like my bumper sticker, but whatever.
Oregon always just seemed very sane to me. I have to say, I haven't spent that much time in your beautiful state, but I know you've got some lunatics in the woods up there too, but it always just seemed like a place that had it pretty balanced.
Yeah, pretty much. We do home health. So you go in there and Fox News is on. Right?
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, I need to talk to you, and you're older than the wind and hard of hearing, so could you turn that down just for a few little minutes? We got to do wound care here. I got to teach you. But anyway, I'm in the office, so I don't have to deal with it. I just hear about my nurses who come back in, tell me about it. Otherwise, it's a struggle. I mean, it's a struggle. The hate and the vile that comes out of Trump's mouth. I don't know how anybody can follow it. It started for me when I had to go.
You know
to
how people can follow it. Think about when you were in school, the bully and the bully's flunkies. Weak people will mistake cruelty for strength all the time.
You know, and one of the people I love more than life and miss, George Carlin, when he said, think how stupid the average person is and realize half of them are stupider than that.
I can't say it any better, Stacey. That's one of my favorite bits of his, and a pretty great record, too. Thank you very much for calling us. Please don't be a stranger, especially now that we know we can't get drugs in the state of Oregon anymore. So much for legalization. Okay, Chris and Thea, thank you. What a great show we had tonight. We'll be back again for some more tomorrow. This is SiriusXM Progress. Peace.